Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study. It's your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is now our time for devotion. We'll have a song by Mark Bryant, scripture by Dr. Nooks, and prayer.
Good evening, everyone. We thank you for joining us at Your Place Christian Bible Study, where God is exalted and the Word is explained. We're truly happy that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to join us, to help us praise God and lift up the name of Jesus. Today we'll be started with song, scripture, and then prayer. Today's song is The Sound of Praise. That's a sound of praise that is pleasing to his ear, the sound of praise that's lifted into the atmosphere. There is a sound that is pleasing to his ear, the sound of praises lifted into the atmosphere. Every time you lift your voice, you need to know Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise. Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise. Oh, there is a sound that is pleasing to his ear, the sound of praises lifted into the atmosphere. Every time you lift your voice, you need to know Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise. Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise. A sweet symphony, a heart melody, a song of praise to you, is music to his ear. Jesus loves to hear the sound of praise. A sweet symphony, a heart's melody, a song of praise to hear, is music to his ear. Jesus loves to hear the sound, Jesus loves to hear the sound, Jesus lives to hear the sound of praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The sound, oh, he loves to hear. Hallelujah. The sound, he loves to hear. And I adore you, the sound, he loves to hear. And I adore you, the sound, he loves to hear. Lord, you're worthy, the sound, he loves to hear. Lord, you're worthy, the sound, he loves to hear. Jesus loves to hear the sound, and Jesus loves to hear the sound. Jesus loves to hear the sound of grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hello.
We'll now be going to our scripture.
The scripture is Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights.
Amen. Lord, we come before you tonight, and we are just so thankful and grateful that you loved us so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, you even spent the time with us, you know, through the word, nurturing and guiding and leading and teaching us so that we can become more transformed into your likeness. So as we come now, Lord, we ask that you forgive us of all of our sins and our shortcomings. Lord, help us mend the relationships in our community, in our homes, in our lives, and among our friendships so that we can be stand rightly before you. We ask, oh God, that you would love us, care for us, and continue to lead, guide, and direct us tonight as we go forward looking at, Lord, the fact that we don't know enough. Lord, you know we don't know enough in our infinite and in our finite understanding. Lord, only you are infinite. You have all knowledge and all understanding. We just ask as we come to you tonight, you would enlighten us as to understanding what it is that you have for us today as we partake and sit at your table. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come and worship. And we hope, oh God, and we pray that you enjoy the praise that we offer. We ask these blessings now in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are so excited to have us together tonight as we are going to deal with the challenges of the text. This month, the month of August, has been a really, really, really good month. And it's a month that has an awesome topic, which is wisdom to live by. Dr. James Nooks is our instructor for this month. And we have been talking about, again, the title, Wisdom to Live By. The first week, we talked about have mercy and be honest. This week, we're going to talk about you don't know enough. The next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we even have even more enlightening topics. Walk in wisdom and understanding. Grant me the wisdom to get a good night's sleep, Lord. Treat people right. Lord, have mercy. Help us, Lord, as we go through these studies. Lead, guide, direct us. And we're asking that you would receive Dr. Nooks if he's ready. Dr. Nooks, if you're ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. It's good to be able to share with you tonight. Who do we have on the line? Kind of get a roll call. I know we have Brother Bryant, Dr. Susie.
This is Mark.
Hello, Brother Lester.
Hey, okay. Lester, good to hear from you.
Pretty good, pretty good.
Praise the Lord. We're looking at walking in wisdom this month, and I chose that topic, or God led me to that topic, because I wanted us to look at the relationships that we have with each other. I feel that it's, you know, we can say we love God and we pray and we seek God, and sometimes we have a hard time getting along with each other. And so I wanted us to kind of focus on that this month and looking at ourselves and how we can get along with each other better. Because when we don't get along with each other, it drives people out of the church. It makes people not want to come to church. This is a device, I believe, of Satan working on our minds to cause us to not function as God wants us to function. And when we get mad, when we get an attitude, when we get hurt and we want to run, Satan is happy, and Satan puts the words in people's mouths and the deeds in their lives to cause them to not be as effective as God wants them to be. And we come against that in Jesus' name, and I just want us to talk about that this month. So walking in wisdom is about really looking at ourselves and getting along with each other. Now, we chose Proverbs because Proverbs is Solomon talking to his sons, sharing wisdom. But we can all gain wisdom from Proverbs 3, even though it was to Solomon's son or sons. But it's a message to all of us. Now, our text for tonight was Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. And somebody want to read that for us again? Perhaps someone didn't hear it when it was originally read. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. Someone have that, or I can read it again. I'll read it again.
Proverbs 3, 5 through 12 from the NIRV. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. That's 5 through 8.
Read through 12.
Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grains and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights.
Amen.
Amen.
And our subject for this evening is you don't know enough. And I know that our culture kind of teaches us that we are the masters of our own lives and that we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We figure things out. We know where to go. We have a goal. We have plans. We have all these ideas, and it's up to us to do it. And how many of us really feel that the success that we have had in life has come truly only from ourselves? Is there anyone online that believes that, or perhaps you can share something about that? Do we succeed only on ourselves, our own merits?
This is Mark. I think one of the things that you pointed out early, even at the inception of our lesson, is that our culture, especially within the United States, teaches us to pull ourselves by bootstraps, by our own effort, our own mind, our own thoughts, to be able to create some of what we call success. But in all actuality, in 90% of all cases, the success that people see has come because they knew somebody or they're with someone that helped them get to the point where they are. But when we get down to the reality of life here as we see it as humans, whether it be in this country or any other country, our only success is in Jesus. Our health, our life, we are truly dependent on Jesus for everything. If we don't have our health, we don't have anything. We may be able to acquire goods and have, you know, services rendered unto us, but the reality, our mind, body, soul, spirit was created by Jesus and for him. And so many times we have to get to a point where we lose things before we recognize who is the person who really gave us everything that we have. And so, you know, I implore those who are listening to truly understand that everything that you ever have had, everything that you have currently or will ever receive, it truly comes from Jesus Christ. And so if you recognize him, and as the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge Christ, he will direct your path.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to contribute to that question? Okay, I invite you to look at James 3:13-18, and we're again looking at you don't know enough, and addressing the concern that some of us feel like our own understanding is enough. But in Proverbs 3, we find that we should lean not to our own understanding, but that we should acknowledge God and lean on God, and God will direct our paths. So we want to look at this thought this evening. You don't know enough. So James 3:13-18, somebody get that for us. How many people can have access to the Bible tonight?
I have access.
Okay. Could you get that for us, Brother Lester?
Sure. It says, who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him by his good conduct show his good deeds with the gentleness and humility of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant, and as a result, be in defiance of the truth. This superficial wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, secular, natural, unspiritual, even demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder, unrest, rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, morally and spiritually undefiled, then peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, reasonable, and willing to listen, full of compassion and good fruits. It is unwavering, without self-righteousness, hypocrisy, and self-serving guile. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness, spiritual maturity, is sown in peace by those who make peace by actively encouraging goodwill between individuals.
Amen. Amen. Brother Lester, what does that say to you about that thought? You don't know enough.
I think the main thing is when we understand that God's ways are higher than our ways, and his knowledge surpasses anything we're ever going to acquire in terms of knowledge. And unfortunately, when we are seeking to please people, create a name for ourselves, when we're seeking to serve money and create a brand, when we're seeking to lean to our own understanding and present ourselves as wise in the eyes of the world, and then when we are our own limited strength, so that we could prove ourselves as a force to be reckoned with instead of allowing the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit to operate through us, then we are settling for less and stealing God's glory by not allowing the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit to operate through us. And so it's the simplest way of thinking about it is us telling God, no, don't pour any more into me. I'm good enough. Just fill me to the brim, and not allowing it to overflow, because we're not thinking about anybody but ourselves.
Amen. Amen. And I like this where it said, if you go to the wisdom of the world, then your life will be a mess. You will be doing all kinds of evil things. My Lord. Anybody else want to comment?
Yeah. Unfortunately, when people say wisdom, they say it in one sense only, and they don't understand that there's a distinction between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, and godly wisdom far supersedes worldly wisdom, and people tend to say them both as if they're the same.
Amen. Amen. And our hearers need to know that, because I think many of them will think that when, you know, a wise person that's in the world is not the same thing as a wise person that's in Christ.
Amen.
So so we hear all kind of wisdom. We hear sages, and we hear people that are wise and you know, according to the world. But that's not the kind of wisdom that we're talking about as far as being a child of God, being a Christian.
Amen.
So, Brother Mark, do you have anything you want to say about this text? Or any of you wise?
I totally agree with Pastor Carver when he talks about there's a difference between natural wisdom and God wisdom. And many times we rely on that natural wisdom before we ever truly recognize that we starve ourselves if we do not reach for God's wisdom to run our thoughts, to do the tasks that we need to do in a daily basis. We make things much more difficult just because we look to ourselves and lean to our understanding versus seeking God's godly wisdom in our regular thoughts and deeds.
Amen. Pastor Carver, will you read some of those things that you said that people that have this heavenly wisdom ought to be doing? I think after the 18th verse, or that, starting at the 18th verse, read some of those things again. I know that we talked about peace.
It says, the peace from above, godly wisdom, is first pure. It's morally and spiritually undefiled. And then it says, the peace from above, godly wisdom, is peace-loving. It is courteous and considerate. And when I think about that, I think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness,
mm-hmm. yeah.
kindness,
yeah.
patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And that is what we get from walking in alignment with, in harmony with God. It says that it's also gentle, right?
Yes.
And reasonable and willing to listen, right? Full of compassion
yes.
and good fruits. And it's unwavering. So it's faithful and without self-righteous hypocrisy. So you're not looking to point out the faults in others, but you are serving in a selfless way. So, you know, when we look at this, it says the seed of whose fruit is righteousness, spiritual maturity. It's sown in peace by those who make peace. So we seek actively to encourage others and encourage others to walk in joy and gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control by our example and by our words.
This is Dr. Susie. And the and I just want to ask an Eric question right now, you know, and that is, you know, we hear all this, but why is it so hard for us to do it? I mean, in reality,
yes.
we fight like cats and dogs. We'll get in the middle of an argument, and we treat each other unlike everything we just read. We don't seek to solve issues between one another. When we get in a spat, we won't even talk half the time. We'll go to our own perspective corners and keep the polarity between us. I mean, we don't do any of the things that we know that the Word calls us to do. And then we continue to go to church every Sunday and act like it's all right. Oh, it's okay for me to be angry with her. Oh, it's okay. Well, you know, my family, I claim that we do what they call cut-offs. If you don't do it the way I want to do it, I'm cutting you off. If you don't talk to me the way I want you to talk, I'm cutting you off. And won't talk for years. There's so many people out there that get upset if they don't get their way. And I know many times as we're arguing and we have any disagreements, I mean, we don't even have to have major disagreements. We can have disagreements in the way we think. And we're going to argue, mistreat the other, do a tit for tat, we come up with all kind of things that are nothing like the peacemaker that this word calls us to be in, planting the seeds of peace. Always planting is, you don't understand me, you don't understand what I said, and that's all it is. It's done. you know, so we're going to our perspective corners, and that's the way it is. So, you know, Brother Lester, you know, is that the real, is it real or not? You know?
Well, you know what, though? I wouldn't speak for everybody in that regard. And the reason why is
I'm talking about
a lot of us
all
try,
the time.
What I'm saying is that there's a period in our spiritual growth and development, right? Before we get that whooping from on high and we're chastened by the Lord and we're just doing what we want, right? Before then, you are operating exactly how counter with God, where you go from just knowing about God and knowing God intellectually to knowing him experientially, how Job came to know God after his affliction, right? After that kind of knowledge of God, where you realize God is real, he's got his hand on you, he cares about you, he knows the number of hairs on your head and all that other stuff, then the way you operate is a little different, because you understand that God is with you at all times, watching, concerned about how you represent him in the earth. And the fruit of the Spirit is something you're looking to cultivate, because you know if there's no fruit in your life, then there's no power. There's no operation of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you. So, right, so love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. If you don't see that in somebody going around calling themselves a Christian, then they haven't yet had that experience, or they just might not be a Christian at all. You know, that's another question.
So you're saying, Brother Lester, you feel that if a person doesn't have all of those things, they're not a Christian. God couldn't be bringing them around.
Oh no, I'm saying they could be spiritually immature and brand new, right? But you won't be brand new forever if God has his hand on your life.
We got some 81-year-old folks in the church that's still doing that same old thing. And what I'm talking but I'm bringing this issue up because we got people all over the church who are listening at different ages. You can be 81 years old and still act like an immature Christian. You can be 81 years old and act like a babe in Christ. But
or
God is calling us
you
to
could,
examine.
You could be a
hair.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
God's calling us to examine the very things you were saying. So if we aren't examining our lifestyle, then we don't know whether we're growing or not. We're just doing our own thing. And that's
fair
not a good productive way to walk.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Nook, go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, and this is why we're having this study this month. It's not necessarily that we need to look at what other people are doing. We need to look at what I'm doing. So am I showing mercy? Am I someone that's trying to promote peace? Am I someone that lifts other people up? Am I someone that is courteous? Am I someone that is kind? Do I have these attributes? They're looking for God through us. I don't know why God chose us to be his ambassadors. But Lord have mercy. I know God cries sometimes. Because we're the people that the world sees. I mean, we are the closest that many people will come to God. And to me, that's an awesome responsibility. And we just flounder it. And we act like crazy people. I mean, we see all these things, these wonderful things God says that we ought to be able to do. And then we look at Romans 7, and it says, when I would do good, evil is always present. The things that I want to do, I find myself unable to do. And this is what we need to be concerned about as the body of Christ, that we reflect God, that people see some God in us sometimes. So, I mean, that's why we're doing this study.
It should be a lot of
time. Amen. And it ought to be growing. I mean, we ought to be getting better. And I think that's maybe what Lester was talking about. Brother Lester's talking about that, you know, we shouldn't be new all the time. So we should be growing.
We shouldn't be,
there should be, there should be some evidence that the love of God is in us at some time.
Absolutely. 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 But
the reason that I brought it up
is because, you know, if we sit here and just all of us talk to, I mean, you got a bunch of people who are growing on the line, who are mature Christians, but the reality is we have an audience of listeners who are across the board, and we have to talk about the context of everybody. And so when we have people who are think that, you know, I'm going to church, I'm taking my children, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to, but then you can't talk to one another, you can't treat one another in love, you can't communicate beyond if you didn't say what I wanted you to say. There's no such thing as us communicating and getting resolution. No, we're not going to do that. You didn't say it the way I wanted. I'm mad at you. Yeah, what if you did say something inappropriately or incorrect? And you go back to that person and try to apologize. Because nobody's perfect. If you want to allow them to communicate with you, then what is that? Oh, I don't want to talk. Oh, come on now. We have to do, Matthew teaches us to go to that individual and try to repair the relationship. That is exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit that Lester was talking about. And if you're not willing to do that, then I agree with him. Maybe we need to examine if we really are truly God's children.
Oh, Lord. But, our text is telling us how we ought to be acting. And I think it's a teaching lesson, teaching moment for us. And I hear people when they say, somebody comes to them with an issue, a problem, and people say, well, I'll pray for you. Sometimes you need to walk with them through that and say, let me take your hand. I'm here for you to call. I'm here. I want to talk to you about that. How can I help? Instead of just saying, I'll pray for you. You know what I mean? This is the essence, I think, of what it means to be a Christian. It's not just praying to God. I mean, we Lord have mercy, we ought to pray. But sometimes we need to take time and say, what can I do to help? You know, and this is what James is doing when he writes. He's talking about works and faith. And we ought to see our faith through our works. So people will see our faith in God through how we treat them, how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves. So that's what this is about. That's what we're trying to look at so that we can be better Christians. Amen. So I want us to look now at another text. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. You don't know enough. Excuse me. You don't know enough. That thought. 2 Corinthians 12. Go ahead.
12, 1 through 10?
Yes.
I have it from the New Living Translation or the Message, whichever you like.
It might be good to hear from both.
Okay. The New Living Translation says, this boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body, but I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth, but I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, sort of keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecution, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's 1 through 10.
Amen.
That's the NIV.
That's good.
And 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10 to the Message says, you forced me to talk this way, and I do it against my better judgment, but now that we're at it, I may as well bring up the matter of vision and revelations that God gave me. For instance, I know a man who 14 years ago was seized by Christ and swept into ecstasy to the heights of heaven. I really don't know if this took place in the body or out of it. Only God knows. I also know that this man was hijacked into paradise. Again, whether in or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. There he heard the unspeakable spoken, but was forbidden to tell what he heard. This is the man I want to talk about, but about myself. I'm not saying anything, another word, apart from the humiliation. If I had a mind to brag a little, I could probably do it without looking ridiculous. And still, I'd still be speaking plain truth all the way. But I'd spare you. I don't want anyone imagining me as anything other than the fool you'd encounter if you saw me on the street or heard me talk. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap, me in constant touch with my limitations. Lord have mercy. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. And what he in fact did was push me to my knees. Thank you, Jesus. No danger, then, of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. And once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. I was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride. And with good cheer, these limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accident, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become.
So when we look at that text and we hear the words, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, how does that text support that scripture, that line of scripture? Has anybody ever boasted? Been proud?
Well, I know I have somewhere in my life, some point in time.
Anybody ever play basketball on the playground?
Okay, I have playing dominoes.
This is Eric. I think Eric. I think at some point in time in our life, we all have in any number of arenas, whether it's, you know, playing pickup ball or dominoes or backgammon or spades or whist or, you know, even in our study, even if we're talking to other Christians, we talk about, you know, how much we read, how many days we go to service and, you know, all we do.
Amen.
But that's not what God has asked us to do. And I think the biggest thing, as I, you know, go over in my mind the last couple of 18 months, 24 months, you know, we don't deal well with the sign of weakness or appearing weak or letting people mistreat us or misuse us and get away with stuff. And we try to find a way to justify ourselves and make things shine in our favor and in our light. And God is just saying, you know, no, you don't need to lean to your understanding. Just trust me, and I'll take care of it. If you are my child, I know what you've suffered. I know why you suffered, even if you don't. But the fact that you have suffered, and if you can suffer it the way that I need you to, on the other end, you'll be the better for it. You'll understand patience and guidance and obedience. And then through that process, whether you are exalted in front of those people that have caused you the most harm, you're exalted in God's eyes, and that's the most that you could, that's what you should be striving to be, is exalted in God's eyes, not in man's eyes. And mm-hmm. so this is very, you know, Paul is very astute. I always like that Paul says, you know, well, I could do this, I could do that, and then he actually does. He does boast a little bit. But then he gets to the point to where he's boasting about his weaknesses and what God has done for him through his weaknesses, which is what God wants him to do, because now God gets the glory. Instead of Paul getting the glory about being caught up in what he's heard, he's boasting about his weakness. And in our weakness, if we really are true and we study and we pay attention, that God's strength can most assuredly work through our weaknesses, because then we can only depend on God.
Well, Brother Eric, I hear that, and you know, for me, when I listened to Paul when he said that, I was thinking, you know, brother, you still got a little growing to do, don't you? Because as I was sitting there listening, when he got to the point when he was saying, according to Good News, these limitations that cut me down to size. Now you're talking truth. The reality is that all of us, as you said, and it's folk that I don't know how people can think that they don't fall short, because we all do. I mean, there's no perfect person but Jesus. And so when Paul was making the point of saying these limitations cut me down to size, you know, I had to experience some abuse, some accidents, some opposition, some bad breaks. You know, something happened. Somebody kept your money and didn't pay you on time. You know, and you were feeling bad and saying, you know, I wish that them people would pay me. But you know, whatever it is that takes us out of our Christian talk. Because, see, what happens is we do a lot of Christian talk. This is what God said. This is how we ought to act. But then when we get to the Christian walk, it don't always match up side by side. Because part of us is that we're growing. You know, we hear it, it becomes a part of our spirit, and then we start to do it. But we don't do it perfect all the time, every day. And that's why we're growing. That's why we stay in the Word. That's why we continue to be nurtured and to ask people to work with us when we fall short. That's what we were talking about, how we talk to each other, how we treat each other, the relationships we have. If we had it going on, we wouldn't be having the wars that we have now.
Amen.
But we don't know how to do it. We haven't figured it out to where we can share with everybody and we can live it out. And I think that's what the goal of this is that we start to practice this and walk in this in the areas that, and Dr. Nooks was saying, look at yourself. Find the area where you're not perfect. Look in the area where you make a mistake. Find the places where you need to grow and work on that. Focus on that, not so much to celebrate and be like Paul when he says, I could do this, but, you know, recognize and embrace your weaknesses and that you are made strong in those places, and those are the places that we choose to try to focus on and grow.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, this reminds.
Go ahead. Dr. Nuss, I just wanted to say that, that Dr. Susie, you're right. But in order to do that, we've got to, and go back to that, the reason the study started is that to have an authentic relationship with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, to be able to confess your weaknesses, because we as the human nature in us does not want to address our weaknesses. Period.
Amen.
I mean, we don't want to talk about them. We don't want to confess them. We don't want anybody to even know that.
Amen.
You know, and so, but only in that authentic relationship that you have with God, knowing and knowing that when you read Psalms 139, God knows everything anyway. He precedes you. He comes after you. If you went to the, you know, it says if you went in the furthest ocean, he's already there. If you go to the highest hill, he's already there. He knows your every thought, your every deed. He knew you when you were in the womb, before you was ever created, or as we said, before you was a twinkle in your daddy's eye. He knew you. And so in having that authentic relationship and understanding that God knows, then we can confess our weakness. Then we can work on those, and then God will get the glory for what we are and what we can accomplish for him in this plane that we're in right now.
Well, what you just said reminded me.
Somebody,
what good
everybody
does it,
put their phones on mute? There's a noise in the background. Those that aren't speaking, please.
What I was trying to say is that, you know, what does it profit us to do everything right? How do we help other people when they don't do everything right? How can we help them if we don't have a testimony?
Well,
we
the answer is we
testimony.
Can't. We can't,
well, know,
but we also need
that
to
our
understand
to be reconcilers.
Well, it is, but we can't. We need to understand that we're not going to do everything right. We're going to do most things wrong.
Amen.
And so, therefore, we ought to be able to then have a testimony. But you can't have a testimony if you think that you're right or you don't want to share to let other people know that you're wrong because you don't want to appear weak in front of them. I mean, we got a society that we don't want to appear weak in front of people. We don't want people to know that we don't have it all together. We don't want people to know that we have done wrong, that we've made mistakes. We don't want people to know that.
Yeah, and then we don't mind talking about other folks' weakness, but we are scared to talk about our own. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And that is hypocritical.
Yeah, this is what the job description, the job interview ought to be about. And somebody that applies for a job in the church and to be a pastor, instead of saying all what schools they went to and how many degrees they got and how many books they wrote and all this kind of stuff, they ought to ask them, what about your infirmities? You know, I think this is the kind of question gets to how God has brought us through, how we've made it, you know. But instead, it's like Eric's talking about. We talk about everything that we've done, that we think people want to hear about us, that we think makes us a better person. But I think it makes us a better person if we can talk about our infirmities and what we've gone through. And our testimony is more original. It's more effective instead of saying, oh, I've been good all my life. God has just blessed me with so much. I've just been a wonderful person. Butter doesn't melt in my mouth. And I'm just so good. Instead of saying, you know, I've messed up. I've done all kind of things wrong. God loved me anyhow and brought me through. But this gets to the idea of we don't know enough. We just don't know enough. We don't know enough to act like we are all that. Instead, God, I think, respects our humility and us being humble. And sometimes we have to be knocked down before we can look up to God and see God. And here, and you know, Paul is talking about his infirmities, and if he continued to boast, or if he thought he had something to boast about, and then that's what he was hung up on, then his head would get big. And that's what happens to us. We got a bunch of big-headed people in the church.
Oh,
and if
Lord,
you
want
to hear a bunch of big-headed people, go to a convention. and get a bunch of them in the same room.
Where?
Lordy.
Where'd you say go?
Go to a convention. Any church convention. Any black church convention anyway. I've been to many of them
Let me say this. It ain't just black church conventions either, brother. It
Amen.
Ain't just
Amen.
Black church conventions
I,
either.
I know. But the egos are too much, and it's just so disgusting. It is to me, and I've been to so many of them to hear people talk about themselves all the time, and then want to get reelected and be in an office and. And we read about that earlier.
But it
people
just blows me away when you see people who are leaders who have people carry them up to the stage and wipe off their shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, so we're doing these things for the big head. We want people to aspire to be like us, to aspire to want to be us, to aspire to... And I'm like, that's wrong. We're supposed to be wanting people to be like Jesus. Everything we do should point to God. Just like Jesus in the book of John, he was the Lamb of God. And everything he did pointed to God. And that's what we should be doing. Whatever we are, whatever beacon we have, whatever light that draws to us should point from us to God.
Amen.
Amen.
I know we just have a few minutes. I want us to read one more text, and we can discuss it some. James 2, 5 through 18. James 2, 5 through 18. James 2, 5 through 18.
Yes, indeed. It is good when you truly obey our Lord's royal command found in the Scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you pay special attention to the rich, you are committing a sin, for you are guilty of breaking the law. And the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all God's laws.
Mm-hmm.
The same God who
mm-hmm.
said, don't commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you murder someone, you have broken the entire law, even if you do not commit adultery. So whenever you speak or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law of love, the law that sets you free. For there will be no mercy for you if you have not been merciful to others. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy towards you will win out over his judgment. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. Suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say, well, goodbye, and God bless you. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is not faith at all. It is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue some people have faith, others have good works. I say, I can't see your faith if you don't have good works, but I will show you my faith through my good works.
Amen.
Amen.
And can I read the message, Dr. Lynch, real quick?
Yeah, I think Brother Eric started at the 8th verse, and I wanted the 5th. Started verse 5.
Listen, dear friends, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently? He chose the world down and out as the kingdom's first citizens with full rights and privileges. This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God, and here you are abusing these same citizens. Isn't it the high and mighty who exploit you, who use the courts to rob you blind? Aren't they the ones who scorn the new name Christian used in your baptism? You do well when you complete the royal rule of the Scriptures, love others as you love yourself. But if you play up to these so-called important people, you go against a rule and staying convicted by it. You can't pick up and choose in these things, specializing in keeping one or two things in God's law and ignoring others. The same God who said don't commit adultery also said don't murder. And if you don't commit adultery but go ahead and murder, do you think your non-adultery will cancel out your murder? No. You're a murderer, period. Talk and act like a person expecting to be judged by the rule that sets us free. But if you refuse to act kindly, you can hardly expect to be treated kindly. Kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. So, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Well, does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageously nonsense? You want me to finish it?
Yeah, go ahead. 18th verse.
18. I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department. Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works together, hand in glove.
Amen. Amen. So walking in wisdom, and you don't know enough. I was really moved by the first part of this, and I'm moved by the whole text, and I'll get input from all of you, but the fact that we lift up some people over other people in our culture, and it seems like the rich people get special privileges, and those that don't have or been through some stuff don't get those same privileges. Some people are put in jail more than other people are. Some people are targeted more than other people are. Some people have privilege in our culture. And it's those people that it seems like they know more than other people. I mean, and I'm saying in this lesson today, you don't know enough. And it's not about your position and your privilege, because all of those that are in Christ are special to God, those that love God. And so I wanted to bring out that point. But this text has so much more about it regarding our walk of wisdom, walking in wisdom, and showing our faith by our works. So does anybody, I mean, we just have a few minutes, Dr. Susie, but does anyone want to give some comments on this text here, James 2, 5 through 18?
Well, this is Eric. Got to go here shortly to help attend to something, but it's very apparent that we are good at telling people, you know, if they have issues and problems that we'll pray for them, when we should be saying, as was earlier, I'll pray with you. Let's talk about that. What can I help you with? But also our faith is, what can we do for them physically? I never in all of my studies and readings, I never not saw Jesus try to attend to somebody's physical needs before he tried to get to their spiritual needs.
Amen. Amen. That's true.
And if we are Christians and Christ-like, we should be doing that as well, as opposed to running the other way or turning a blind eye. And whatever you're doing it because you are Christ-like. And so whether that person appreciates it or not, you're not doing it to gain notoriety and notice. You should be doing it to please God who's put you in that way. And sometimes, you know, you find yourself, and I'm speaking from experience to our listeners, sometimes you find yourself in positions where you're in the path of someone and you have no reason why. You have no earthly reason why that is. And I submit to you because God has sent you there to meet that need.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to ask everybody on the line, Dr. Nick, if did you have a final thing you wanted to say, or did you want me to go ahead and ask everybody a point that they take on,
no.
And then you can close it out?
Oh,
okay,
go
Eric,
ahead.
Before you leave, can you give us one of your take-homes that you received from this lesson tonight?
Well, the take-home is that we need to stop being all that in a bag of chips in front of people when we really are not even the bag, that we need to be able to look at our infirmaries. We need to be able to have those conversations with brothers and sisters that are struggling to say, I know what you're going through, been there, done that, or I'm still there, I'm working through that. Let us do this together. We need to be able to show our weakness to our brothers and sisters and to our family members and stop pretending to be something that we're not.
Amen.
Brother Lester, did you have something you wanted to say? I'm going down the list.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely.
I think that we want to also look at the positive. When we understand where our own strength ends, defined as weakness, then we understand where God's strength begins. So the beginning of God's strength is us making ourselves available to do those things that go beyond our own abilities to do, so that we're asking the question, what is it God is really asking me to do, instead of what are my natural limitations? Because what God is able to do through you is not subject to your own natural limitations.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Britt? Brother Britt, you got to get off mute. Pastor Dix?
I'm off. Yeah, this is Britt. I'm off mute. Yeah. This takes me back some because this is something my dad always used to teach about. And I think that we have been taught so much to trust in, or how I want to put it. A lot of people say, go by what your first thought is. But when you're dealing with the spiritual realm, when you're dealing with your Christianity, the thing is, you got to be able to trust in the Lord. Now, the problem is that a lot of us don't know how to let go and let God. So we keep want to be in charge of everything, and that's not what God wants us to do. That means you have to lay down your so-called pride, because you think you know everything, and you're the one that gets yourself in trouble. And when you get yourself in trouble and there's nobody there for you, you have to cry out to God. That is, if you call yourself a Christian. And the thing is, each and every day, you have to remind yourself, I must trust in the Lord. That's why I tell a lot of people, Jesus Christ is first in my life, then my family, and anybody else. It has to be in that order because, hey, when I step out here, I don't know if I'm going to make it back home. Anything could happen. So it is very important that you understand that in order for you to live a Christian life, it's not about you anymore, but it's about how can I serve God? Am I doing God's will? And what he's putting into me, am I receiving it and understanding it correctly? And if you do that, you'll find out that your life will do a turnaround. That's it.
All right. Okay. Brother Dix, did you have anything you wanted to say? We'll go off of. And what I wanted to say, this is Dr. Susie, I want to say, first of all, Dr. Nix, thank you so much. I enjoyed the lesson. And I think many times we have to be aware of where God is taking us. You know, there's so many aspects of the Bible that we can learn. But tonight, Brother Nix, you took us to look in the focus about the fact that we need to remember that we don't know enough. And the reason you picked that is because oftentimes we forget that knowing enough is not just knowing the things of man, but understanding that what we need to know and what we need to aspire to know is not the things of man, but the things of God. And to make those Amen. Things a priority. And as they become a priority for our lives, then we are more able to understand all the other things, not leaning on our own to be able to walk in what God is trying to teach us, understanding that as the scripture was trying to teach us a minute ago about how we have to be careful in how we communicate and that our walk has to match our talk. I mean, we can't go around professing. I mean, if you guys would be upset with me if I walked around cussing everywhere and you going, now, does that look like a child of God? If I, you know, am I exemplifying what God looks like? I can't, my walk has to look like my talk. You know, yes, I fall short, but I can't stay in that. I can't live in that. I can't do that on a daily basis. I can't say I love the Lord and walk around with an alcohol bottle defiling my temple and thinking that somebody's going to follow me or listen to me. I have to model, which I think part of that is what Lester was trying to say, we have to model these things so that people can understand that God can make a difference, that God can use our weaknesses to transform our lives, because he says it's in my weaknesses that I do good, that I'm great. It's not greatness of me, but it's what God does through me. And that's how we know that we can truly be used by God. It's when we have areas and we're not all that. Because God can take somebody who's not all that and use them to magnify and do the miracles that bring life to other folks' lives, that transform and that highlight who he is so that we can give the honor and glory to God as it should be. So thank you, Dr. Nix, for me. My take home is, I mean, it was just a wonderful lesson. And I have a lot to aspire. I want to continue to look at the individual places in my life for growth. I want to continue to when I offend somebody or say something, because sometimes we don't intend to offend and it happens. But we have to take the onus, those of us who call ourselves as Christians, to go back and repair those places. To just say, I'm going to just leave it like that. That's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to be reconcilers, you know, ambassadors for the Lord. And we have to do it in our own lives as well. So thank you, Dr. Nook.
Amen. And everything everybody said is just wonderful. And for those of you listening in, we just wanted to relay the idea that we don't know so much, and it's not in our own understanding that we're able to really serve as we should and be the kind of people that God would have us to be, because our understanding is limited to the earth, but we seek the understanding of God. We seek that, and we invite God into our lives to teach us and to show us, and not just to have a theoretical understanding of knowledge, but also to have works that reflect the knowledge of God and the love of God so that people can see God through us. It's so important because I feel like we are doing so much. We're drifting away in many cases, and people aren't seeing God in the church. And my prayer is for the church, and not a building, not a denomination, but the family of God, the people of God. I just pray for them that we can reflect God. And that's what this is all about, walking in wisdom, so that the wisdom of God can be reflected in what we do, and what we do can affect the relationships that we have with other people. And that can draw or reject people from the church.
Amen, amen. So at this time, I'd like to find out, are there any praise reports or prayer concerns? I want to thank God for Sean. Sean Ed is out of the hospital. I praise the Lord for that. Lester, do you have any, and Mark, do y'all have any updated information?
I'd like for you all to continue to pray for my son's closing on his house.
Okay. Have you heard of Sean's no longer in the hospital, right? She's doing better.
She's doing great.
Fantastic.
Star this morning.
So
pray with her.
So, amen. Amen. God's good. God is good. So our prayers of the righteous avail us much. We also, as Brother Lester asked us to do, and that's to pray for his son. And you want him to, what is he looking for, Brother Lester? A house? What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Closing on the house.
Closing on the house. Is it his first
yes.
home? Awesome. I guess he can't hear me. All right. All right. Is there any other prayer request we want to lift up? I asked again for a position. I have 6 weeks left at that, in which I will be employed in Kentucky and will be moving back to Indianapolis. So I just ask for prayers regarding being able to come back home and have a job, or that God will send me someplace else to have a job. Anyone else? We asked a prayer for James's daughter, Brianna, that we lift her up as well. And and I asked always
Sylvia.
Prayer for James. And,
you said Sylvia, your friend Sylvia.
Oh, we asked for prayers for Sylvia as well. She'll be having surgery on Thursday morning, so we ask that you be in prayer for her and to continue to lift her up throughout the day. So God's been good, and we know that the prayers of the righteous avail as much. From our testimonies and what we've experienced among us, our group, our God has been good. So, Dr. Nix, would you close us in prayer?
Well, God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your people, and we pray for your people. And God, we pray that we can reflect your image to others. We're concerned about the church, but we know that your church will stand, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Help us to be ambassadors of love. God, we are so grateful for Sean being out of the hospital. We pray for her continued healing. We pray for healing on all those that are on the line. Many of us are sick or suffer from all kinds of illnesses, and we know you're able to touch our bodies, provide healing. We also pray for deliverance from attacks of Satan, and Satan is attacking us on every hand. And the more we get to the position that you would have us to be, the more Satan is attacking us. So we come against Satan in Jesus' name and ask him for deliverance and protection and comfort and strength. And God, we also pray for Lester's son closing on his house, that he would have that blessing. And God, we pray for Dr. Susie as she moves into a new position that you have for her, already prepared. And God, we pray for her, for James and Sydney. And God, we pray for Brianna, my daughter, who is going in for tests, a neurological test, to bless her in a special way. We pray for Sylvia, who's going in for surgery on Thursday, protect her, and we pray for healing in Jesus' name. We pray for those that are on the line that are seeking you, God, that they might gain an understanding and want to seek you more, and that they might accept you as their Savior. God, we give this Bible study over to you. We ask for a special blessing.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.